listening to Blick on Flicks with Jacob Clark Blickenstaff, brought to you by the National Science Teachers Association. Today's episode, Science in the Backyard Wilderness.
Imagine a place where hidden wonders await discovery. Welcome to my backyard.
In March, I had the opportunity to attend an early screening of a new IMAX documentary, Backyard Wilderness. It's showing in science centers and other specialty IMAX theaters nationally. The film's central message encourages kids and adults to explore the natural world all around them just outside their door and disconnect from electronic devices that keep them inside. Susan Todd, one of the writers, directors, and a producer of the film, affirmed her goal for the film was to support outdoor exploration by every child when I had the opportunity to speak with her after the showing. Backyard Wilderness was filmed in Todd's neighborhood in New York State, in and around a home that overlooks a lake and woodlands. We see a family of four, the two children appear to be in high school, living their modern connected life with computers, televisions, tablets, and electronic games entertaining them and keeping them indoors, while a dramatic ecosystem storyline unfolds around them. The daughter, Katie, begins to engage with the surroundings while working on a class assignment about local ecology. She then decides to study and report on the spotted salamanders she finds living in the vernal pools behind her house. I should explain, a vernal pool is a seasonal body of water that's filled in the spring and dries up in the early summer. They make ideal breeding spaces for amphibians, like the spotted salamander, because fish can't live in the temporary pools, and fish love to eat amphibian eggs. In addition to the salamanders, Katie notices the lives of insects, birds, and mammals, large and small, as the seasons bring changes to the vegetation around her home. Eventually, other members of Katie's family take interest as well, and we see their activity transition from screen time to outdoor time. When Backyard Wilderness is available at nearby theaters, upper elementary and middle school teachers could use it to support lessons on ecosystems, seasonal change, and to encourage students to look close to home for inspiration from nature. The story of Backyard Wilderness starts in the winter and runs through 1 year, so we see all four seasons in this part of northern New York. This region provides a great exemplar for seasonal changes, with a cold, snowy winter, cool, rainy spring, warm, moist summer, and cool, dry fall. Kids in the Deep South, Southwest, and far western states don't live with what I think of as the Sesame Street seasons, the ones we see as examples in books. For example, I grew up in Northern California, with a Mediterranean climate. That meant that vegetation was brown all summer long, not green, and winter is when the hills are covered with fresh green grass. Now, it makes good sense to use the seasons of the Northeast U.S. as the example, though, since that's the part of the country with the greatest population. There are some beautiful time-lapse sequences that show the growth of seeds in the spring, fall color changes, and even the development of salamander eggs up close. Seasonal variation in sunlight and changes in the star patterns are also shown through animated time-lapse sequences. Another idea teachers can introduce after watching Backyard Wilderness is that not all animals are displaced by human activity. Some even adapt well to living alongside people, though we often think of them as pests. In the film, we see several key examples. Mice successfully nest in our homes and live off our food. In talking with Susan Todd, I learned just how challenging it is to get film of mice nesting and raising their young inside the walls of a house. Raccoons are skilled at getting into our garbage cans to find scraps, and they can live in attics. Deer are very content to dine on landscaping and make their way over our fences and through yards all across the country. While in my neighborhood, feral rabbits are becoming common, though they are not an example that we see in the film. I think it's important to note that many students do not have the kind of open space in their backyard that we see in this film. The suburban life we see is that of a well-off family with no shortage of resources to support kids' learning. Folks who live in urban areas may have public parks, which are usually heavily managed by people and where vernal pools, for example, would not be allowed to exist. Getting to open space by public transit can be really difficult for families who don't have a car. So it can then be up to teachers to provide outdoor experiences for their students, and they'll need to look for outdoor field trip experiences. In the Seattle area, there's an amazing resource called Islandwood, The link to their website is available in the online version of this column. And Islandwood has overnight experiences for upper elementary students on Bainbridge Island, just a ferry ride away from Seattle. Teachers considering using Backyard Wilderness should explore the extensive collection of educator resource materials available online at backyardwildernessfilm.com. The materials include substantial lessons to do before and after seeing the film and clear links to the Next Generation Science Standards. These resources were developed in collaboration with the California Academy of Sciences and include links to Academy resources. For teachers looking for ways to integrate science notebooks into their classroom, the Cal Academy has developed a really nice set of resources and guides. Elementary and middle school teachers could use Backyard Wilderness to explore seasons or ecosystems and to get kids excited about studying the natural processes that are going on all around them.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website, www.nsta.org, and search for Blick on Flicks.